sidelined because of health issues. Always something, huh? All right. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Previous. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word, and Father, thankful for this study that we'll be able to make through over the weeks ahead. And Father, I pray as we look at this that we would identify sin like you do, that we wouldn't try and excuse our sin, that we wouldn't try to cover up our sin, but that we would call sin, sin. And we just thank you for what you're going to accomplish through this, looking forward to it. And now we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So here it is that it results in death and destruction as God rained down fire on Sodom. Because of the cry of Sodom is great and their sin is very grievous, God said enough is enough, right? I mean, I've said many times, as preachers say, well, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize. God doesn't have to apologize for anything he does. And who do we think we are that we could hold him accountable for anything? Anyway, but I will say that if God punished Sodom and Gomorrah for what they did, would it not make sense that he'll punish us for what we're doing? I mean, does it not make sense? As we've talked many times, but it's interesting how we have basically embraced the same things they did. And we called them good. And we said they're fine. And we have a tendency, and the more I talk to our missionaries and evangelists and all, and the more I hear about Christians and the fact that they think it's okay to put people in office that are doing the things that God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for in the United States of America, the more I wonder when judgment is going to come in, I'm not saying it hasn't already, I'm saying in great numbers, where we'll see like major judgment coming. I believe that this COVID thing was a wake-up call. I believe it was something to get our attention and say, you know what? I think it's been over-politicized. I totally have said that from the very beginning. But it is real. People are really dying from it. It's not fake. But I also think they've over-politicized. And again, as Brother Rick pointed out, the CDC came out again and said their numbers were off again. That's twice they've come out and said that their numbers have been inflated. So which numbers do you believe? Remember Sunday when I stood here and said, if you lie to me once, everything else you say is suspect. If you lie to me once and I believe it, shame on you. If you lie to me again and I believe it, shame on me. I shouldn't keep falling for the lies. And it's amazing how many people do. But do we not think that judgment is coming? If we don't, we need to wake up. And we need to start doing, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. It's amazing. And to believe that people are going to change when you reward them for the bad behavior that they're doing isn't going to happen. When you reward bad behavior, you get more bad behavior. It's the way it works. You know, why would you change the behavior you have when people reward you for it? People say, well, we're not rewarding them. But when you vote for them, you reward them with your vote. So yes, you are rewarding them. And so, and I see that as God sits on the throne and he looks down and he says, why are my people involved in wicked and evil things? Did they not read the book? I gave them a book. Did they not read it? Have they not read Sodom and Gomorrah, what I did to them because of their sin? I said yesterday during prayer meeting, man has learned nothing from history. And we continue to learn nothing from history. And we continue to repeat the same things over and over and over, expecting a different result, and yet the same result happens every time. The wickedness prevails because we reward it. But here we see another even more pronounced example of the rapid and horrible growth of sin. Once a spark of sin is allowed, do you get that? As long as that's allowed to begin to grow in a life or in a nation, the flames of its destructive power will soon overwhelm and consume all in its path. When we let it happen, and I mentioned this, I don't know which men's meeting we were at, prayer meeting, but was in the last about month and a half anyway, I said, when we allow this sin to happen and we do nothing to prevent it, then we're an accomplice to the sin. Right? I mean, bottom line is, when we allow the death of babies, we are an accomplice to what's going on. It's the way it works. When we have sat on the sidelines and done nothing about homosexuality, we are an accomplice to what's going on. When we sat on the sidelines and let same-sex marriage be voted in, we're an accomplice to what's going on. When God judges a nation, does he judge just the unjust? Or does he judge the just and the unjust? Does everybody not benefit from the wrath of God when we allow these things to happen? This book says it rains on the just and the unjust. We don't miss out because, well, I didn't vote for that. No, but we allowed it to happen. We allowed it to happen. And it's going to be easier to stop it before it starts than to try and put it out after. You ever seen a forest fire? If it hadn't have begun in the first place, it would have been a whole lot easier, right? How do you stop it? Well, there's a lot of ways to curtail that, and one of them is forest management, which we haven't been good at. And then we wonder why millions and millions of acres are burning. We need to do what needs to be done ahead of time. We need to, as God's people, not embrace the sin. And for our own selves, we should avoid sin at all cost. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect. Not saying that we're not going to sin. But I'm saying we should avoid it at all cost. Do everything in our power. In Sodom's case, sin led to rampant, unashamed, and unrepentant pride, covetousness, materialism, laziness, pleasure-seeking, callousness towards the needs of others, fornication, sexual perversion, homosexuality, and total rejection of the Word of God. I think we can see all of that in the United States of America. Nothing on that list is missing from what's going on in our beloved country, right? And why? Why have we allowed it to happen? We sit on the sidelines and do nothing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Do you know I know Christians that said they don't vote because Christians shouldn't be involved in politics? So they did not vote this time around? Guess what? We're going to reap the whirlwind. If things go as they look like they're going, we're going to reap the whirlwind from why they didn't. But we also had Christians that voted contrary to the Word of God. And we're going to reap the whirlwind because of that. All I got to say is, one day we all stand before God. We have to give an answer. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Ezekiel 16, 49 through 50 says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." That's God saying he took them away as he saw good. Everything that God does is just. You know, we see some things that are going on and we wonder why God allows it to happen. It's just. Why do things happen in our lives? God allows it to. And a lot of times it's to get our attention, to get us drawn closer to Him. And the way He has to do that is sometimes He has to spank us. And like I said, if it hurts too much, people will stop the bad behavior. But if it doesn't hurt too much, they're going to continue on with it. You know? And we've seen that this year. We've seen sin running rampant in our cities, across our nation, go unchecked. And then, what did we see? More of the same thing. You've got to stop the bad behavior if you want to change. And so far, we've got a lot of people that don't want to stop the bad behavior because they like the bad behavior, apparently. And then Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, that's Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, "They shew of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." They declare their sin as Sodom, and they don't even try to hide it. What's going on today? People are robbing one another in broad daylight. And they don't even care. They don't even care. There's a situation with our son-in-law where a trailer was stolen. And from all accounts, it looks like it may have been the business that they left it with. Somebody in that business took off with it. And it was something he went to pick up, and he said, "Load it on this trailer." And they said, "No, you leave your trailer here. We'll put our lock on it. You take our trailer, and when you bring it back, we'll do this." And so he did. And when he got back, his trailer was gone. And they said it wasn't their fault. He said, "You put your lock on it. You took responsibility for it when you did that. Where is my trailer?" The only way they could have taken it is if they unlocked your lock. And guess what? When the police showed up, they said the same thing. Now all of a sudden, they're standing there wondering where this trailer is. Somebody took it, brazenly took it. And didn't care. People are doing it in broad daylight. I've mentioned several times, I talked to a police officer. He says, it used to be over the cloak of darkness people would rob one another. Now they do it between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Of course, with the COVID thing and the kids home from school, they're not going to be able to do that anymore because there's probably kids in the house, in a lot of them, so they're not going to be able to use that 10 to 2 o'clock thing during this lockdown. But brazen, and they don't even care. But God will judge that. He's God. He will. Then we have Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. Jeremiah 23:14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Doesn't matter who they are. Even the prophets were doing a bad thing. This is a problem in the United States of America, where we have people, and I don't care if it's people that stand in a pulpit week after week or what, or people who are sitting in the pews. They're doing a bad thing, and they're giving Christians a bad name. Because they profess to be Christians, and then they live like the world. They might be saved. I said might. I'm not convinced. But they might be. But as I keep saying now, quit using the name Christian. Unless you're going to act like Christ. If you don't want to act like Christ, don't tell people you're a Christian. Then Genesis chapter 19, verse 5, and also verse 14. Verse 5 says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And then verse 14 says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. See, he supposedly was supposed to have this reputation that he is somebody that could be trusted, somebody that you would believe in and all, but he's not. Why do they not believe him? Because what's he doing? Where is he at? Has he separated himself from the evildoers? No, he's right there amongst them. People say, well, I'll just bring them up. No, they'll bring you down. It's amazing. How many people, I can think of one right now, used to be a member of this church, went out, got this idea that if he could go out and be part of what's going on out in the world, it'd be great for his business. So he did. Got involved in some sin. Yeah. Brother Sommerdorf was here asking about him. He was told he won't want to talk to you. Of course. You don't want to talk to somebody who follows God. Why? Guilt. Right? Ashamed. Right? Because if you had nothing to be guilty of and nothing to be ashamed for, then why would you have a problem talking to somebody who's following God? Just amazing. It's amazing. But we think we can dabble in sin and God will be okay with it. No, we can't. We need to recognize how all of the mentioned sins are connected and are the natural outgrowths one of another. As they continue on, one leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. I know people who are involved, sold out for God, never touched a drop of alcohol in their life. Next thing you know, they're hanging out at the taverns, drinking with their buddies, making all their deals for their businesses, and the next thing you know, they're involved in adultery. One sin led to another. I can handle my alcohol. Yeah, till it handles you. It's amazing. Note how covetousness and materialism are connected with sexual perversion. It's amazing how these things happen. Once we commit the sin of adopting the false and foolish notion that satisfaction can be found in the fulfillment of the desires of the flesh, it is a natural progression from seeking fulfillment in increasing possessions to seeking fulfillment in increasing sensual and eventually perverse pleasures. It's amazing. It just snowballs. Gotta have more, gotta have more, gotta have more. This increasing search for the ever-elusive satisfaction of the true and deeper needs of our souls will lead us from seeking pleasure in pure and normal sexual activities to increasingly impure and perverse activities. It's amazing. Got news for you. God created this thing good. Every time he created things, it was good. It was good. He created man. It was very good, right? And what has man done? We have perverted what God has created because we bought the lie from Satan. You can be like God. In fact, there's a religious group out there that says you are God. I've got news for you. One day when you stand before him, you'll know that you're nothing like him. You're not even remotely close to God. So how could you be God? This increasing search is our problem. Then the greater the guilt of our sin grows, the more we begin to grow proud as we attempt to justify our sin, and the greater disdain we hold for the true message of God which condemns our sin. Do you know, it's amazing how many people get involved in their sin and they'll do everything that they can even think of to excuse their sin. It's not my fault, right? It began in the garden, right? Eve. Well, it wasn't me. It was that serpent. Adam. No, it wasn't me. It was that woman you gave me, right? The we have someone else to blame all the time. One of these days we're going to look over our shoulder and nobody's going to be back there to blame, right? It's when we're standing before God. There's going to be nobody to blame. Because there isn't going to be anybody that God's going to believe did it. He knows who did it. We're not going to get away with it. But we think that we can continue on doing our own thing, and yet God won't care. You don't think God is upset when we kill thousands of babies a day? We don't think that God cares when we've thrown out his word and said, you know what? You said you created man and female. But we've decided we don't like that. We've decided we want to be whatever we want to be. It's crazy. And what's going on? I'll tell you part of what's going on is generations are not passing down the truth of the Word of God to the next generation. And we're getting away from it. When people say it doesn't matter, when people say that Christianity is a crutch for weak people, yeah, and then our Christians vote for them. it's sad. They're blaspheming God, and we're aligning with them. And it's wrong. I just wonder, how much time is God going to leave us here? How much time do we have left? I mean, there's a lot of things that if you just look at what's gone on just the last year, you can see a lot of things lining up. How much more time do we have? The last mention of the word sin. We might get through this. Last mention of the word sin, actually, sins, occurs in Revelation 18:5. Revelation 18:5. It's the last time it occurs, and it's actually sins. Revelation 18:5, it says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Here it results in the wrath of God upon the last days Babylon. In every case, we see that sin brings the wrath and judgment of God every single time. So if God sends wrath and judgment every time people sin, then why do we think he's not going to? Now, I have to say, judgment is all not always as quick as we think it should be, right? I mean, I was at a stoplight today, and I was thinking, well, this is really interesting. I just passed a county sheriff, which is in this lane, just three cars back. I'm in this lane, in this turn lane. They're coming through the turn lane with a red light, and they're just flying through it, one right after the other. And I finally look over my shoulder to see if he's still back there, because nothing's happening. And I thought, you know, if he'd have gone and nailed the first one, the rest of them probably would have stopped. But we didn't check the bad behavior, so the rest of them thought they could get away with it too. And that's what we have going on in the world today. We see somebody that's blatantly in their sin, and yet they're still living, right? Because we automatically assume if you're caught in your sin, you're going to die. Right? The wages of sin is death, so we automatically think they're dead, and then they live through it. And we think, well, if they can do it, then I can do it, right? No. Why do we measure ourselves against one another when we're supposed to measure ourselves against God, the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're supposed to be like him, then let's quit measuring ourselves with everybody else. Measure against him and see that he doesn't like sin. In fact, this book says God hates sin. So God's people should hate sin and not align with it. And yet we do. We do. And we think it's all right. And we think that God's going to be okay with it. But he's not. And you can see that. How do you see that? Broken churches. Broken homes. It's everywhere. We see it all over the place. Why? Because sin is destructive. Sin is not our friend. And we need to understand that. All right, we're going to have to stop there and move on to prayer requests.